Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
The Bible tells us that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. We shall know the truth. Well, here is the God's truth about January 6, 2021.
The liberal media and the left, instead of sort of rejoicing that they now have partners to take on these issues, they moved the goalpost about what counts as racism so that they could smear all conservatives as racists.
But when the justices, especially the liberal ones, were focused on the policy arguments, you better get the facts right, and they completely dropped the ball on that.
What we're seeing here are people who are claiming to be sent by God with words that God has not given them. But the one person that we can rule out in every one of these so-called prophecies is God, the Holy Spirit.
And that is a very dangerous task to set ourselves to. It's a very dangerous expectation to bring to God, to say that we need our own individualized revelation because the scriptures are not sufficient for us.
Nurses in Wyoming who volunteer with EMS love Issues Etc.
A recent story from the BBC. Päivi Räsänen, Finnish MP in Bible hate speech trial. A former Finnish interior minister has gone on trial for hate speech against gay people following comments which she says were based on the Bible. And in fact, if you have been following that trial at all, it's very interesting. It's exactly what's on trial. The Bible, the teachings of the Bible, making for, well, our first guest says, some rather surreal observations. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about the criminal trial of Finnish Lutheran leaders for statements on human sexuality. Paul Coleman, Executive Director of Alliance Defending Freedom International, will be our guest for the first half hour or so. We'll spend some time with Dr. Leonard Payton discussing the systemic evils of American culture. We hear a lot about the systemic racism. He says there are a couple that are even more serious. And then Joy Pullman of The Federalist will be alongside. We'll talk with her about American parents and school COVID policies. Part three of our series on the Book of James follows that with Dr. Curtis Giese, author of The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for January, the Concordia Commentary on James. Joining us to discuss the criminal trial of Finnish Lutheran leaders for statements on human sexuality, Paul Coleman. He is Executive Director of Alliance Defending Freedom International, author of the book Censored, How European Hate Speech Laws Are Threatening Freedom of Speech, and he joins us from Vienna. Paul, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Where does the trial of Päivi Räsänen and Johanna Pohjola stand today?
So it's been ongoing since the summer of 2019 when they were first investigated by the police, and the trial was held on Monday, 24th of January. It was adjourned, and closing arguments will be heard on the 14th of February.
What crimes do the two stand accused of in Finland?
So under Finnish law, it roughly translates into English as ethnic agitation, but really a better way to describe it would be what we'd call hate speech. And so they are accused of hate speech for Päivi for a tweet that she directed her church leadership after they became official partners of a Helsinki Pride parade. She asked how that decision aligned with scripture, and she sent a picture of some Bible verses to support her view. She also wrote a pamphlet on marriage and human sexuality in 2004 for her church community. And then she discussed all of these issues on a radio talk debate for an hour, and the prosecutor extracted 2 or 3 minutes out of context and used that as well against her. And then Bishop Johanna Pohjola is also standing trial for publishing this booklet back in 2004. So in total, there are 4 counts of hate speech against both Päivi and Bishop Johanna, and the maximum sentence for this crime under Finnish law is 2 years imprisonment.
What is the Finnish law on statements about human sexuality?
So Finland, like all countries in Europe and other countries outside the US, places like Canada, New Zealand, Australia, has these hate speech laws. They're all very vaguely worded. And in Finland, it refers to publishing a message that is insulting to groups of people. One of those groups of people would be those based on their sexual orientation. And so the accusation here is that under Finnish law, the idea that homosexuality is sinful, according to the Bible, that is a insulting statement, that it insults those who identify within the LGBT community, and that it is a punishable offense under Finnish law. And so a large component of the case on Monday, I was attending the trial, was not just about the specific words that they had used and what they had said, but it was much broader than that. What was really on trial, in essence, was the Bible and biblical teaching itself.
What particular argument is the prosecutor attempting to make?
There is one of the peculiarities of these sort of hate speech laws is that there aren't really any victims here. So there were no witnesses in the courtroom. There were no victims. The prosecutor is making, in a sense, an abstract or hypothetical argument on behalf of people that are allegedly insulted or offended by these statements. And so, in a sense, the argument is abstract. There is no one there saying that these words offended me as such. The prosecutor is speaking on behalf of others who may or may not exist. And the argument is that, pure and simply, that these words are insulting, that they are offensive. And the prosecutor said that the old phrase that you can love the sinner but hate the sin goes too far. So the prosecutor said that phrase is incorrect. That phrase produces unlawful behavior because it's not okay to love someone if you hate the sin, so to speak. And so, as you can tell, the prosecutor really got into some pretty, I would say, theological arguments in a criminal court.
Is that why you described the events so far in the trial as surreal?
Yes, it was surreal sitting there because the prosecutor began the day by reading extracts of the Old Testament. They were put up on a screen. And by the way, they weren't even verses to do with sexual practice. They were just other seemingly random verses that the prosecutor or someone in the prosecutor's team had found in the Bible and evidently disliked and had put them up on screen as being essentially examples of bad speech. And so that's how the day began. And then 9 hours later, it's almost 6 p.m. Everyone's exhausted. They've been in court all day. And the prosecutor is cross-examining a bishop on theology. She asked him, what is the relationship between the Old and New Testament? She asked him, does he follow the Bible or does he follow Finnish law? And are these things in contradiction? And numerous times the judge had to interject and ask what on earth any of this has to do with the case. And so sitting there watching, it was surreal. Even though you mentioned in the introduction, I wrote this book on hate speech laws. So I've been researching these issues for a long time. The idea that I was sat there watching a criminal prosecutor cross-examine a bishop on theology was surreal.
What is the relationship between the church and the state in Finland?
Well, the Finnish Evangelical Lutheran Church is still a state church. The vast majority of the Finnish population belong to this church. And so it is Finland, like most countries in Europe, has a state church. It's part of the constitutional framework of the country. So what Päivi Räsänen and both Bishop Juhana Pajula were saying is their views are in line with the official teachings of the state church of the country. It's still their views are in line with these state churches. And so if you go after them, essentially you're going after the state church itself. And that's one of the points that was made in court, is that this is really far bigger than just the two defendants in this case, but it really speaks to the relationship of the church in Finland itself.
How have these accusations in this trial been viewed by lawmakers and human rights organizations outside Finland?
There has been increasing attention on this case outside of Finland. We've been raising the alarm bells about it for the last couple of years. And there has been, at least as far as I can tell, as what has crossed my desk and what I have seen, there has been huge support from lawmakers around the world who have written letters of support, who have spoken up in her defense, as well as numerous NGOs, human rights organizations, and various different churches or denominations. So I've seen huge support, consternation at what's happening, and I've not seen one single voice from outside of Finland speak into this situation with approval. There hasn't, as far as I can tell, been any leading figures or organizations who have looked at what's happening and encouraged and applauded it. It's been the opposite. Anyone who has spoken from outside Finland, as far as I can tell, has condemned what's happening and warned against it.
Paul Coleman is our guest. He's executive director of Alliance Defending Freedom International. We're talking about the criminal trial of Finnish Lutheran leaders for statements on human sexuality. We'll discuss the Finnish law on religious and freedom of speech next.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, His design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you know a child with autism, dyslexia, ADHD, or Down syndrome? Do you have a student who needs an effective yet more gently paced education? We invite you to visit simplyclassical.com for a complete academic curriculum rooted in the truth of God's Word, the mercy of forgiveness, and the peace of Christ. From Memoria Press, simplyclassical.com, promo code LPR22.
Now that you have packed away the Christmas ornaments and chrismons for the season, it's time for some contemplation. Those chrismons are from the 80s. They're made of styrofoam. The glitter has dropped off and they're being held together with toothpicks. Don't celebrate another Christmas harkening back to the age of glitter balls. See Ad Crucem's beautifully designed Christmons, together with our book describing how they fit into the church year. Visit adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
We are talking about the criminal trial of Finnish Lutheran leaders for statements on human sexuality with Paul Coleman of Alliance Defending Freedom International. He's author of the book Censored, How European Hate Speech Laws Are Threatening Freedom of Speech. Paul, what kind of religious freedom exists in Finnish law and what kind of freedom of speech protections exist in Finnish law?
Well, this is one of the worrying things about this case because there's nothing particularly bad about Finland at all. In fact, from a legal perspective, has very strong protections both for freedom of religion and freedom of speech. From a rule of law perspective, Finland ranks very high in international rule of law rankings, often topping the charts. And so in many ways, the case has come as a complete shock to those in Finland and others who are familiar with the Finnish legal system. because the protections for free speech and freedom of religion are as strong in Finland as they are anywhere in the Western world. And so it all comes down to now, well, how are these words on paper going to be interpreted by the courts? And so if we compare it, for example, to the US and the First Amendment protections within the US, of course, they have been interpreted by the courts over the last several decades very strongly in favor of both religious freedom and freedom of speech. So the question now in this case is, will similar wording in the Finnish legal system that's there on paper, how will the courts interpret it in a key case like this? Because it is a precedent-setting case. It is unheard of in Finland. And so whatever is decided here now will have huge ramifications for whatever comes next.
So given what you've just said, is this case a fluke? Is it an outlier? Or is there some kind of broader strategy being attempted by the Finnish government here?
I think that if this had been a police investigation with a bit of media attention 2 years ago and then been dropped, I think we could have said it's a bit of an outlier and it was a rogue police unit or whomever who was just trying to make something, but it all went away. But the fact that this is being pushed at the highest possible level within Finland, in fact, the police recommended in the majority of these charges, the police wrote extensive opinions that no crime had been committed. So the general prosecutor, which is the chief prosecutor in the country, overrode those police recommendations to continue with this prosecution, shows that it's not really, as you say, a fluke or an outlier. It's really being pushed and driven by the highest levels within the Finnish authorities. And it goes to show that with these hate speech laws, which are so vaguely worded, so subjective, it shows that they can really be manipulated and used and arbitrarily enforced if you get someone in power who wants to make a point, which evidently is what the prosecutor wants to do in this case.
How do you intend to mount a defense of Rossinen and Pohjola?
Well, our organization has been supporting them really since the beginning. We found out about it very early on. So we've been involved since pretty much day one, since the middle of 2019. And so we've been supporting them. And one of the things that we've been pointing to is not only the strong protections within the Finnish legal system, but also within international law. So Finland, like all European countries, has signed up to international human rights treaties, which create legal obligations for the country. And the protections for freedom of speech and freedom of religion at an international level are strong. And so we have been pointing to those protections, and those arguments are being deployed within the Finnish legal system. And the main arguments that are being put forward in court is simply that whether one agrees with what these individuals have spoken and written over the years, that is not on trial. Agreement or liking of the words is not what is on trial. The question is, should these writings be allowed to exist? And should disagreement with these views lead to a criminal conviction? And that is the point that was made again and again in the court. It's not about alignment of views here. It's about, are we really in a place where one set of values, one set of beliefs, one set of views is not only disagreed with, but it's censored, it's criminally punished. And that's what's on trial.
Why is this trial in Finland important to Christians everywhere?
Well, because Finland has strong protections for freedom of speech, freedom of religion, strong adherence to the rule of law, if something like this can happen in Finland, I think it's fair to say that it can happen just about anywhere. And so it's a real warning sign to Christians in other jurisdictions. And I hope that people looking on recognize the fact that this isn't some obscure thing happening in Helsinki, but it could be coming to them next. At the moment, it's a Finnish criminal prosecutor cross-examining and asking an evangelical Lutheran bishop about his theology and threatening him with criminal charges. But it's easy to see how that could apply to other jurisdictions and to other denominations. And that's why it's so important for people all around the world to unite together in defense of freedom of speech, not only here in Finland, but show how what's happening in Finland could happen elsewhere. And we need to make a stand for freedom of speech in all of our jurisdictions.
So remind us finally here, what happens next in the trial?
The closing arguments for the trial will take place on the 14th of February. That's not expected to be a long day like it was on the Monday of this week. Once those concluding arguments are heard, the court is expected to make a decision within the month following that. So we're expecting to hear a decision in the first half of March. And then one thing to note, Finland, like many European countries, has a legal system where both sides can appeal a criminal decision. And so if Päivi Räsänen and Bishop Juhana Pohjola are acquitted, it isn't necessarily the end, because the prosecutor can appeal that decision to the Court of Appeal, ultimately to the Supreme Court, and the case could go to the European Court of Human Rights. So this could all be over in 4 to 6 weeks, or it could be round one of a four-round battle that could still last for many years.
Paul Coleman is Executive Director of Alliance Defending Freedom International, author of the book Censored, How European Hate Speech Laws Are Threatening Freedom of Speech. You'll find a link to this book and to ADF International at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Paul, thank you very much and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
We will be discussing systemic evils of American culture on this Thursday afternoon, January the 27th. Our guest on the other side of the break, Dr. Leonard Payton. Issues Etc. surpassed more than 6.4 million downloads during 2021. You can help us reach more listeners this year. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Old theology, new technology. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial-A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial-A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we may be saved. This is the teaching of St. Peter, and this is the teaching that we continue to hold to, and yet many in our world today struggle with these claims of exclusive salvation through Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about how Lutheran doctrine compares to that of other world religions, you're in luck. The February issue of the Lutheran Witness is all about Lutheranism and world religions. Visit cph.org/witness to purchase a copy, or our website witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.